Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, 102.
Responding 2401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400, lower level, near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high freight 401 is a route.
Good evening and welcome to another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Glad that you have joined us on this third day of October in the year 2011. Glad that you are with us here on this show. We've got a part two show coming up for you tonight. We're going to be talking about upgrading charges to lower crimes. Brett Davis in the booth. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. And, boy, what a week already we are having. Whew. Temperatures are cold. It's definitely fall. And in some areas, it's actually winter. Wherever you might be, hopefully you are enjoying the sun and the warm temps. But right now, here in the Carolinas and Georgia mountains, we've had cool temperatures, winter-like weather over the weekend, actually had snow in some parts of the Carolina mountains, and things are going to warm up a few degrees, but still it is going to be a very short fall and a very early winter. That's my prediction. Now, I'm not a weatherman, but that is my prediction. And probably going to see a much wetter, colder, snowier year than we've seen in quite some time. That's just my prediction, and we'll see how that pans out. But we do want to welcome you here to the show and appreciate you being with us wherever you might be. You know, last week was the Private Security Officer Memorial Week, and we've got a number of emails and messages from folks who celebrated, participated in ceremonies, companies who participated, and we want to thank you for being involved in the 2011 Private Security Officer Memorial Week. And next year, we do promise that's going to be even a larger event across the nation as we roll out a whole brand new program. But we'll be telling you more about that in the upcoming month. But thank you for participating, all of those companies and officers who did across the country. Well, in the breaking news, I don't know if you've been following this over the last few years or a few weeks, but an American by the name of Amanda Knox today was released or will be released shortly from an Italian prison. Amanda Knox was found guilty about 4 years ago, I guess, of murdering her roommate in Italy. But today, the higher court, Supreme Court, there in Italy, overruled her murder conviction. After 4 years in prison, they said there was not enough evidence to have found her guilty and have overrule her conviction, and she's scheduled for release. So I'm sure right now she is overwhelmed, as is her family. Also from the breaking news wires tonight, we have a nightclub security officer over the weekend in Greensboro, North Carolina. That's in the Raleigh Triangle area, what they call the Triangle area, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area. Critical condition after being shot multiple times during a disturbance at a nightclub. Police say that the security officer escorted the troublemakers outside. One of the troublemakers went to their vehicle and retrieved a weapon and shot the security officer multiple times. He is listed right now in critical condition. We are hoping and praying that he does recover, and we ask that you do the same. We know that in this situation, you know, from the information that we have, he was unarmed. He did not, he was not the aggressor, and he was definitely the victim here. So keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Also off the wires, you may be following this for the last several weeks in New York City. There's been a protest happening along Wall Street, which really got out of hand over the weekend. Occupy Wall Street began as a protest against banks and Wall Street and those in power who are controlling our money and getting the tax advantages from our government. Well, over the weekend, evidently, you know, sporadically over the last couple of weeks, there's been a few dozen arrests here and there for noncompliance or disorderly conduct and things of that nature. But over the weekend, it seems like about 700 people were arrested at the Brooklyn Bridge as several thousand people converged on the Brooklyn Bridge, obstructed traffic. NYPD was out in full force, and according to the video that I've seen and the news accounts that I've read, about 700 plus were arrested for disorderly conduct, impeding traffic. And now this protest, this civil unrest, has actually spread to several other major cities and across the country, to California, and even across to several other countries. Similar occupations have been reported in Europe and Germany, and you know, something like this could really get out of hand very quickly, and you could have mass riots in many cities and even countries, as many protesters and those who are sympathetic to their cause get involved. In fact, in North Carolina over the weekend in Durham, a senator, state senator, was involved in the protest. And, of course, several actors have been involved in the protest in New York and several other cities. So we're keeping an eye on this as it grows. It does not look like it's going to subside at any time. In fact, news released today from one of the spokespersons of the Occupy Wall Street said that they plan to continue the protest right through the new year. So this could really become, you know, devastation, catastrophe in the making, as people could really be seriously injured. Lots of property damage could be done during these protests. And, of course, it is very costly for the cities as well to, you know, man the police, to have the police force there, to have the supplies there, and to be able to control the civil unrest. So we'll see what happens. Also, I want to tell you that our friends down in Nashville, or I guess that's up in Nashville from here, our friends in Nashville, Buford Toon Apps Training Academy, which is the Academy for Private Protection and Security, or Personal Protection and Security, is moving. His office will be closed for the next few weeks as they move into a new, better, bigger facility. And you can find him on the web still. If you are in the Nashville area and looking to attend class, class will be scheduled in a few weeks, but he'll have more information for you. Also, my friend Kelly Long over in Clinton, Mississippi, that's out in the Jackson, Mississippi area, has opened a training academy and a security company, Gold Star Security. You can find them on the web. And if you are looking for security officer training or security services, they are a great, reputable, knowledgeable practitioner of private security. So give them a call at Gold Star Security. And moving right along, tonight is the night for the news, for all the broadcasts. We also want to announce to you that Devin Rondoni, has been promoted to manager of private security for Lincoln Security. And congratulations to Devin. If you are interested in being a guest on the radio show or a co-host, you can definitely do that just by sending us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Send us a short synopsis of what it is that you'd like to talk about, your subject matter, and we will definitely get you on the show. If you'd like to co-host either our weekly show here on Monday night or the LP Zone on Wednesdays, we'd love to have you. Just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. While we're talking about sending us an email, you can also send us an email if you'd like to announce any type of training events happening in your area, or you'd like to announce a promotion or your birthday. We'll be glad to get that information out to our listeners across the country and around the world. You can also follow us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the clock on the web. Simple, very simple. Just go to our main website. Go to our homepage at www.privateofficer.com. And right there from our homepage, you can follow us on Facebook. You can like us right there on Facebook or friend us. You can follow us on Twitter. You can also join our own private officer forums, and you can follow our daily news blog right there from our main website at privateofficer.com. Now, if you do sign up to Twitter, as we always tell you, anytime that we have breaking news, you will get a tweet. You will get that instantly, so you'll know what's happening in the security field. You can also sign up for breaking news at our website at www.privateofficer.com. We will send you a news alert anytime anything is happening or anytime we're going to be making an announcement. You will get that in your inbox instantly. So just go to our website at privateofficer.com. We will be right back. Are you the owner of a private security service agency? Have you been thinking about starting your own guard business? Perhaps you're a law enforcement officer who moonlights as a security officer just to make ends meet. We all know that in this business, things can go from good to bad in a heartbeat, just like that. But when they do, we've got your back. At Brown Yard Programs, we've been helping the security industry protect themselves since 1993.
Give us a call today at 1-800-665-7305 or on the web at www.brownyardprograms.com. Brown Yard Programs, we protect the protector.
He said half a hit of E would be fun. They said half a hit of E would be fun. They lied. Find out the truth about drugs. Drugfreeworld.org.
All right, welcome back to the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Glad that you are with us this evening. We have a number of new member benefits. If you are a member of the Private Officer Association, you probably received a message over the last few days about the new member reward program. That's right, you can earn points simply by participating in training. Purchases that you make, recruiting, and other methods. With those points, you can trade them in for nice gifts, discounts on products and training that we have on our website and in our mall, and other great things. You can go to our website at www.privateofficer.com to learn more about the new member rewards program. We also have a number of other new benefits for those who are members and discounts recently applied. So just go to our website at privateofficer.com to learn more about that. I was talking about how the weather is changing here in the Southeast and the cold temperature this weekend. And I believe it was 37, 38 degrees yesterday morning here. And there was snow, actually, in the North Carolina mountains over the weekend. And one of the downsides to this is that many people get sick. It's just that time of year. People have allergies, and they have sinus problems. And even those of us who normally don't have sinus problems, we find ourselves congested and just the change of the weather, as I am right now. So I'll try to, you know, cough on you or clog up the microphone or anything of that nature. We'll try to do it off mic, but it is that time of year, as many of you probably are suffering from the same type of sinus problems, congestion, and things of that nature. It's just part of the changing weather. Well, I also want to tell you here about a couple other things coming up. We are going to be holding a supervisor training free of charge for the POI members coming up next week. You can go to our forums, go to privateofficer.com, click on forums, and sign up to be part of that if you are a member. That is a free training. It's a supervisory training for those of you who are supervisors or who want to be supervisors. We also have a number of other events planned, and we'll be telling you more about that in the upcoming weeks. Well, I was perusing the news, as I do every day, came across some laughable laws that are still on the books. Now, you've probably seen some of these laws that are pretty funny and pretty ridiculous that are still part of the law in the state. And here's a couple that I came across today. In Alabama, it's illegal to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church. Illegal. So if you've got a fake mustache, leave it at home when you go to church. In Alaska, whispering in someone's ear while he's moose hunting is illegal. It will get you a jail term. In California, you cannot eat an orange in your bathtub. Hey, you can eat apples, bananas, grapes, that's all fine, well, and good. But do not let me catch you eating an orange because you will be arrested. In Connecticut, a pickle cannot actually be called a pickle unless it bounces. If it doesn't bounce, it's not a pickle. Don't try to pass it off as one. In Florida, if you tie an elephant to a parking meter, you must pay the same parking fee as you would for a vehicle. That's right. So if you are driving an elephant and you park it at a parking meter, buddy, you're not going to get away with it. You're going to have to pay the same fee that you would for a vehicle. And in Georgia, it's illegal to change the clothes on a mannequin in a storefront unless you draw the shades first. That's right. We must be modest in Georgia. When you're changing the clothes of a storefront mannequin, you must pull the shades first. Otherwise, you will be arrested. And in Idaho, a man must not give his sweetheart a box of candy weighing fewer than 50 pounds. Don't try to give her that 1-pound box, that 10-pound box. It's not going to work, buddy. It's against the law. You must not give your sweetheart a box of candy weighing fewer than 50 pounds. And last but not least, and this one is, boy, they really need this in every state. In Kentucky, every citizen. Now, if you're not a citizen, this law doesn't apply to you. But in Kentucky, every citizen is required to take a shower once a year. No joke. Once a year. Otherwise, hey, you'll be put in the slammer. It's against the law not to take a shower at least once a year. If you'd like to see the rest of them, go to our forums. Simply click on our website at www.privateofficer.com. Click on the link to the forums. All right, right now we are in the midst of 6 major capital projects, and we need to fund them. And as I've been saying for the last few weeks, rather than going out and getting loans or begging people for donations, simply support us through your memberships. If you are a member of Private Officer International, if you're a yearly member, now would be a good time for you to upgrade to a lifetime member. If you are not a member, we sure would like it and encourage you to become a member of the association. Members get more than 40 benefits. We do everything possible to assist our members in every way possible. And the yearly dues are very reasonable at $42. You can't beat it. Right now, we have a number of great discounts happening for 2-year memberships and lifetime. Go to our website at privateofficer.com. Click on Join Our Association and become a member today. If you are a member and your membership dues have lapsed, please, go to the website and renew your membership. We need a substantial amount of money to help us in our capital projects. Right now, we are expanding. We are putting together a permanent officer memorial. We have other things that are going on, and we need your support to be able to continue our mission. So go to our website at privateofficer.com. Now, if you want to donate, you can. We do have a memorial fund. Go to our website and click on the memorial fund page, and you can donate $5, $20, $5,000, $1 million would be great. Whatever you can afford, we would appreciate. Also, we have begun taking a limited number, you may have noticed, of advertisements for our website and radio show. If you would like to have your company reach about 350,000 people every month, go to our website at privateofficer.com and send us an email, or just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. adminassist@privateofficer.com. And we promise you're going to be able to reach your target market, because we have Oh, we have private security officers, law enforcement, loss prevention, management people, vendors, people who support security and law enforcement as members, as listeners, as readers to our news. And you're going to be able to reach a wide variety of people in the industry, not only here in the U.S., but around the world. We actually have listeners in many, many countries. We have members in about 28 countries, and we have listeners beyond that. The great thing about using internet advertising or internet radio service is it's unlimited potential of who you reach because there are no barriers. And we have a lot of listeners, and we get surprised almost every week when we get an email about who is listening. So if you are interested in becoming one of our advertisers, please send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com or go to our website at www.privateofficer.com and click on the Advertise Today link at the top of the page. We are working on a number of legislative items. Well, not a number. We're working on two, but we are working diligently to change the law across the country. One of the laws that we are working to change is to make it a felony to assault a private security officer in the performance of their duties. And we are working with a number of states already who have contacted us in reference to our initial letter to them, and we are going to be meeting with several states in the upcoming months and hope to persuade them to change their law from a misdemeanor to a felony. Now, in Texas, Illinois, Florida, and a number of other states, it's already California recently, just in the last few weeks, have enhanced or upgraded their statute to make it a felony for assault and battery on a security officer, the same as if it was a law enforcement officer. So we are working to make that a reality in every state. And a second piece of legislation that we're working on will make it a criminal offense for security companies. And I know this isn't going to be popular with security companies, but it's going to make it's safer for security officers. It will make it a criminal offense to knowingly send security officers into a dangerous location without the proper training, without the proper backup communications, equipment, so on and so forth. And I think this is necessary because, unfortunately, we are in a supply and demand business, and many times owners just don't take, you know, the severity or the reality of the property into consideration. They know it's dangerous. They know that there's been stabbings, shootings, and so forth. That's why security companies have been called out there to, give proposals. And many times security companies just want the contract. They don't really think about the totality of getting that contract and putting someone unarmed in a bad property. But we're working on something that would change that and make it a safer industry for those on the front line. We will keep you updated. If you'd like more information, you can also go to our forums. If you're not a member already of the forums, you need to be because that's where we update everything that's going on. We have about 650 members there from across the country and around the world, literally. We have many threads going on, many conversations, topics. We update the news there. We update security officers being injured. And it's a great place to network. It's a great place to train. A lot of training happening as well. And just a lot of good conversations with like-minded people happening on the Private Officer Forum. So you can join on our homepage at privateofficer.com. Tonight we're going to be talking in part two about enhancing charges to lower the crime on your property. And we started part one last week, and we're going to wrap it up for you this week. You know, it's a lot of security people, management included, supervisors, don't realize the changing roles that private security have. It's not like, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, and I try to preach this every day. If you are in the position where you're going to make apprehensions and arrests, you have to know the law. You have to know the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony. You have to know the difference between a burglary and a larceny, a trespassing and a burglary. You have to know those differences, and there's things you have to be able to know in order to be able to charge the person properly. We'll be talking about that coming up here shortly. All right, this week we want to say happy birthday to Charles Barnes in Tacoma, Washington. Charles Barnes, Tacoma, Washington. Dennis Chug in East Setauket, New York. I believe that's how it's pronounced. Robin Allen in Liberty, Missouri. Rex Dobson Jr. in Kokomo, Indiana. And Eugene Young, Connors, Georgia. Unfortunately, I don't have their age. Those came off from our forums. Also, this week, happy birthday to Jim Graham, 49, in Bloomington, Illinois, or Indiana. Junior Curtis in Belton, Georgia. Barry Hyatt in Macon, Georgia. He's 52. And Keith Moore in Littleton, Colorado, 40 years of age today. Happy birthday to all of you this week who are having birthdays. May you have a great one and many more to come. Want to congratulate also Melinda Newberry of Lebanon, Tennessee, Tracy Good of Durham, North Carolina, and Billy Roberts of Tampa, Florida, for completing the Certified Asset Protection Professional 1 course. Congratulations. We have a number of others currently undergoing several certification courses and doing quite well. If you are interested in enhancing your resume, your knowledge, your skills, please go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. Click on the Academy link. We offer about 20 certifications. We also have about 40 modules, individual modules, and it's a great way to enhance your education and your resume, as well as save your neck in the heat of battle. Go to our website today and check them out at www.privateofficer.com. And we'll be right back.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
I can give it up by Saturday night. You can hit me last enough to make me think it's all right. I tried to keep it loose, but I light up too tight. Versus all of you tonight. You gotta push it in.
Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We want to swing on over to the news desk right quick and go over a couple of headlines with you. You can check out our news right there from our main website at privateofficer.com. Just click on the news link. But in the news this weekend, a Massachusetts man has been arrested after police say he planned on flying some drones, GPS guided drones, into the Pentagon and U.S. Capitol packed with explosives. According to law enforcement, he is also accused of seeking to help Al-Qaeda kill U.S. troops overseas. Police have arrested Rezaun Ferdous of Ashland, Massachusetts, who is a U.S. citizen who recently graduated from the Northeastern University with a degree in physics. According to the FBI, he also sought to obtain C4 explosives, and police were given some information on him and was able to take him into custody. In Dakota County, Minnesota, the Organized Retail Crime Unit of Target Department Store. Now, a lot of folks don't realize it, but Target actually has a national organized retail crime division, and they seek out gangs who are shoplifting across the country in their stores. And recently, the Organized Retail Crime Investigations Unit nabbed several people in Dakota County, Minnesota. They arrested Jamisa Shaney Mallard, charged with felony shoplifting $13,000 worth of merchandise. Also arrested was Whitney Rashawn Hines, in charge in that same case. And evidently, they also stole a key that belonged to Target and was able to have access into a number of secured locations. In Fremont, Ohio, Jose Mata, 37, was arrested after he walked into a Kmart there and took a jewelry display off the counter full of jewelry worth $26,000 and just walked out of the store. Police was able to identify him because of the video, and they were able to arrest him down the road. Farmington, Connecticut, the West Farms Mall, police say James White was caught shoplifting at the Lord & Taylor when approached by LP agents. He pulled out a box cutter and threatened to assault and cut them. He escaped into the parking lot but was arrested by responding police. Mobile, Alabama, police there, Jerry Taylor, who is the public safety director in Creola, recently took the job as public safety director in Mount Vernon, just down the road from Creola in North Mobile County. Chief Taylor is going to serve as the public safety director, police chief for both towns. It's a good fit. According to the towns, he can split his days between the two towns, and they split his $70,000 a year salary. So it's all going to work out. As I told you earlier, in Greensboro, North Carolina, a security officer was shot. Police have arrested Kenyon Alandis Jones, 27, and charged him with attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, inflicting serious injury, and possession of a firearm by a felon. Security officer Eric Jennings, working at the Greensboro Events Forum nightclub, was shot multiple times after he escorted Jones out into the parking lot for creating a disturbance. According to police, this particular location has received more than 100 calls for police assistance since 2001. In Apopka, Florida, police there say a retired Orlando police officer has been arrested for killing his own son. Tim Davis Sr., 47, a retired Orlando police officer, shot and killed his son, Tim Davis Jr., after an argument at their home. Police say that the retired officer has been charged with first-degree murder. Nashville, Tennessee, a number of people and several groups are up in arms over a controversial police program aimed at reducing crimes by homeless people. They say that, you know, the same homeless people are committing dozens of crimes, especially in the downtown area. So they have a tougher, stricter program that locks them up for a longer amount of time. Deputy Chief Damien Huggins, the department spokesperson, says that the sentences are inflated when the person is a chronic offender. And that's kind of what we'll be talking about tonight in the training segment, upgrading and enhancing charges to lower and decrease crime in your area or your property. Washington, D.C., Capitol Police, they are not amused at all by the tweets and social network messages, false reports that went out Friday saying that senators and Congress members were holding a group of school children hostage. According to police, Twitter accounts sent out a number of tweets reporting gunshots and hostage taking at the Capitol. And this is one day after the FBI arrested the Massachusetts man accused of plotting to fly, model planes into the Capitol with explosives. FBI and Capitol Police are looking into a media group called The Onion, who led the barrage of tweets and social messages, social network messages. This was all a scam. There was no hostage taking, obviously, and police may charge a number of people in this incident. Also in Atlanta, Georgia this weekend, it came to light that it looks like a number of workers for Al Sharpton handed out a bunch of questionable stimulus applications to seniors. More than 700 senior citizens filled out a very short application promising a $500 check from the American Opportunity Stimulus Program, but police are now saying this sounds like it was bogus. They can't confirm that there was any such stimulus. And there may be charges coming in this as well. Waynesboro, Georgia police say that an officer was shot accidentally during a raid by a deputy sheriff. Waynesboro police officer Daniel Windham is in fair condition after being shot by a deputy sheriff during a search warrant. Neither the police or sheriff's department is releasing any further details. Two reserve deputy sheriff officers were killed in the line of duty in Oklahoma. They were struck head-on while they were returning from an arrest. Reserve officer Tim Lowry and also reserve officer Mike Roberts died from the accident when their vehicle was hit head-on. A Chicago police officer also died from a cleaning substance that was sprayed on his desk by a janitorial service. Kevin Robinson evidently got sick, had some breathing problems, and went into a coma and has died at a hospital. Off-duty San Diego police officer Jason Propick, 34, a five-year veteran of the police department, was killed over the weekend in a four-vehicle crash. He was off-duty at the time. Houston, Texas, a Houston Baptist University police officer was arrested in a sting. Houston police say that Jesse Frank Perry was accused of taking drugs and money during traffic stops. Police set several undercover officers up in an area that Officer Perry frequented. He pulled the car over, took the drugs from the undercover officers, and was arrested moments later nearby. That is the news. If you'd like to see more of our news, you can go every day to our website at www.privateofficer.com. Click on our news link. It's updated at least once a day, sometimes several times a day. And usually it's got some very interesting news. We post a lot of news that goes with private security and law enforcement. And like I said, it is updated several times a day. We want to move along here to our training tonight. We want to wrap up part two of our training, and we will do that here momentarily right after our last message. And we will also invite you to call in. If you'd like to call in, you can do that after this message.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
All right, we're back, and we'll be talking now about upgrading, increasing criminal charges to lower the crime in your neighborhood or on your property. This is what we were just talking about, really, with Nashville police enhancing charges against the homeless people who are creating problems in the downtown area. Rather than just slapping their hand and giving them a day in jail, they are enhancing charges such as trespassing into burglary and things of that nature, so that, you know, maybe through the enforcement, the problems will be enhanced. Jail terms will be enhanced, and maybe eventually people will get the message. As private security officers, we often work on HUD Section 8 type residential communities, troubled neighborhoods, high crime areas, stores and retail outlets that have high theft problems, trespassing, drinking in public, things of that nature. We can decrease these problems. It doesn't happen overnight. It won't happen in a week or two. But we can enhance criminal charges, civil penalties. We can apply a number of techniques to help lower the overall crime activity in your area or on your property. As we stated in part one, many police departments nationwide, many sheriff's departments already use these techniques. It's like the old theory, the broken window theory. If you have ever had a vehicle that had a small crack in the windshield, if you leave it, don't repair it, don't take care of it, eventually it will begin to spider. It will begin to spread out. The window will continue to crack if it's not taken care of while it's small. And eventually it will completely crack your window. And eventually, it will be beyond repair. And crime is just like this. If you just overlook it, if you look the opposite way, if you don't take care of the small things now, you will have to deal with the bigger things later. And so many police departments, many law enforcement agencies have taken the stand. They've got the standpoint that this is, especially now, with major crime in most areas reportedly down, they have a little bit more time to spend on the smaller criminal activities in their community. So they are out looking to enforce the smaller crimes. You may not think it's a big deal for somebody who may be standing out with a beer can in their hand. It may not be the crime of the century. But it's those loitering crimes, those drinking in public crimes, that often lead to fights, shootings, stabbings, drugs, prostitution, a whole gamut of crimes. By taking care of and paying attention to the smaller things, we can often prevent the bigger things from happening. And, you probably have seen it on a property that you work at. You probably have seen it in the community that you patrol. Many departments, many security agencies, many clients oftentimes don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to get their tenants all riled up. But little do they realize that by overlooking the gambling in the corner, overlooking the drinking in public, overlooking the loitering, overlooking the disorderly crowd at 2 in the morning on the property, those things lead to the bigger things. They don't realize that these things have a way of festering up. They have a way of growing, snowballing. So by taking these little things and taking action immediately when you see them and applying the proper law, the proper techniques, you can actually reduce the crime on your property. You can get rid of the troublemakers. You can control the trespassers. You can stop that window from completely breaking. If you start now, when you see the first little crack in the window, having strong policies and procedures in place in order to enforce the laws already on the books will make a big difference in crime deterrence in your area, your property. As I said last week, it's like a child that you threaten to punish. Now, Johnny, I'm telling you, don't do that again. And he does it again, and you don't respond. You have to have some type of enforcement, some type of follow through in order to get the message out loud and clear. Well, if I don't let people drink out on the property, they're only going to go across the street. Okay, great. That's what I want them to do. I want them to go across the street. I want them to go around the corner. I want them to take the party down the road as long as they're off my property, as long as they're gone. I've accomplished my job. That's what I set out to do. There is a time and place for everything. Some enforce the law by the letter of the law, and some by the spirit of the law. And sometimes you have to enforce the law to the T. You can't let anything slip past you. It is the law. Sometimes you have to really buckle down. You have to really tighten up. You have to really be strict because you have a problem property. I've seen it at hotels. I've seen it at shopping malls. I've seen it at hospitals. I've seen it at apartments, both HUD and the well-to-do, you know, richy-rich type apartments. If you allow things to happen and you don't take enforcement action, they only get worse. Parties get bigger. Crimes get bigger. Before you know it, you got a shooting on your hand. Then there are cases where you can actually enforce by the spirit of the law. You don't have to be, you know, strict. You can take it a case-by-case basis. You can look to see what needs to be done on an individual basis. You can apply the law accordingly. But here's the key. In order to do this, and this is where security falls short. Unfortunately, most security personnel are not law enforcement. They're not, haven't worked in the law enforcement field. They're not legally trained, and they don't know the law. But in order to enforce the law, either by the letter of the law or the spirit of the law, you have to know the law. You can't just guess. Oh, Yeah, I see him do that, and that's a crime. Well, how do you know it's a crime? I don't know. It ought to be a crime if it ain't. See, you got to know the law in order to enforce the law, in order to apply the law, the right law to the right offense, to the right time, to the right person. You have to know and understand the law. You have to understand the difference between civil and criminal law, rules and regulations, and statutes. Knowing how to read and interpret the language of the law will help you to upgrade and increase charges. Last week we talked about how many states now attribute much of their crime to repeat offenders. And just like Nashville is doing with the homeless, they have begun to target out those repeat offenders. It's always the 90-10 rule. 10% of the people cause 90% of the problem. It's how it works in society, unfortunately. So now, many law enforcement agencies are targeting those 10% or 15%, those repeat offenders. They are enhancing their crimes and their charges to get them more jail time, more prison time, to get them off the street longer. One of the things, because most private security personnel are not police or have legal training, one of the things that you have to do is you have to learn the system. If you are given the authority by your client, by your statute, by your employer to make arrests, detentions, detain people, you better know why you're detaining them, why you're arresting them. Because if you don't, and they go before the magistrate, they're going to be kicked loose. And if they do get prosecuted, if a warrant does get signed and you get to court and you don't know what the heck you're doing, and the judge looks at the charges and they don't equate to the crime, they don't equal what the crime was, that person's going to be found not guilty. The case may not even be prosecuted. And what does that mean for you? Besides making you look bad, it means lawsuit. It means liability. It means trouble for you, your employer, the client, and everyone else who's involved. That's why it's so important to understand the law. Every law that you're going to deal with. Not every law on the books. Not every law that was ever written, but every law that you're going to deal with. Know how the game works before you play it. Know who the players are. That includes the district attorney's office, the state's attorney, the magistrate, the law, the police, the sheriff, whoever runs your law enforcement in your area. It may be the county sheriff's department. It may be the constables. It may be the city police, the state police. Depends on your jurisdiction. Get to know them. Get to know how they operate. And then find out who signs the warrants. Is it the magistrate? Is it a judge? Get to know the system. Learn the law in your area. As I mentioned last week, in court, it's a game of skill and will. Whoever knows the law better and can apply it to their situation in a more understandable and believable manner wins the case. It's not always right, but that's why people hate attorneys, because they know the law, they've trained on the law, they've gone to school to learn the law and how to apply it to their situation, how to make it believable. Because their job as the defender is to get their client off scot-free, or at least the least amount of punishment possible. Knowing the law in your state is going to help you to enhance the charges when you do have someone in custody. Last week we discussed that in California, Penal Code 459 is burglary. And it basically means entering a structure with the intent to commit a felony or a petty theft once inside. Now in California, many shoplifters are charged with burglary if they are found to be in possession of a pair of pliers, wire cutters, or any type of tools to help in the theft, including bags or booster bags. That little insight of the law increases the crime from a misdemeanor to a felony burglary. So if you have repeat offenders, repeat shoplifters who are, you know, problems, enhancing the theft charge to a burglary is going to help eliminate them from the game for a while. It's going to get them out of your store and out of your hair, especially if they're found guilty. Just knowing the difference between Penal Code 484 and 459, burglary or theft, know the difference. In Florida, same thing. Statute in Florida defined as entering a dwelling, structure, or conveyance with the intent to commit an offense therein. That offense could be shoplifting. It could be an assault. It could be a vandalism. Again, in the statute, it does not say anything about breaking into the building. Many people think that burglary has to do with physically breaking in, you know, kicking in the door, smashing in the window, going through the roof. Well, some states, that language is part of the statute, but not in every state. So that's why you have to know the language of the law in your state. You have to study. The Bible says, study and show thyself approved. And it is important, extremely important, for liability reasons, as well as professional reasons, that you understand the law of the land in your community, in your state. Without trying to give you a law lesson tonight, you need to know that every state and every city, there are a number of different types of laws. There are state statutes, which are written by the state legislation. Just last week, someone tried to tell me that the federal government wrote your state statutes. They do not. Federal legislators write federal law. State legislators, your state reps and state senators, are the ones who write and pass state statutes. But besides state statutes, you also have ordinances or city codes. Ordinances are something written locally. In my city, I may have an ordinance that says you cannot be outside a dwelling with alcohol. But in the town next door, they may not have that ordinance, so it may not be illegal in their community. In the news today in Chicago, they're passing a law that says that if you have an abandoned property, you either have to tear it down or have a security guard around the clock on the property for safety and security reasons. Well, if that law does pass, that would be pretty substantial and a big win, but it would only apply to property in the city limits of Chicago. So you have state statutes, you have city ordinances or codes, and, you know, you have to know the difference. You have to know, understand the degrees. In Florida, for instance, there are 3 degrees of burglary. In Connecticut, there are 5, 6 degrees of theft. What degree applies to your situation? Retail theft can be a petty larceny or burglary. It can be an embezzlement or a robbery. What really has to happen? What sets them apart? Do you know? Depending on the elements of the crime, the elements, remember that. Depending on the elements of the crime depends on what they are charged with. What are the elements? Well, if a person has shoplifted, doesn't matter if it's a pack of gum or a $20,000 necklace, while it may be just theft or shoplifting or larceny, the minute they use force to either escape or commit the theft, it becomes a robbery, a felony. Same thing with entering a property. If a person who has no legal right to be on a property uses force to enter the property, that changes the deal completely. It goes from trespassing now to burglary because they're using force to enter a property. That is every state. You have to understand the elements of the crime. Was forced use? Also, trespassing can go to a felony if the suspect crosses a barrier, such as a fence, to enter the property knowing he has no right to be. Knowing the language and knowing the elements of the crime is going to help you to upgrade and enhance the charge that you apply to the offender. Many states, here's another one that's, you really need to understand the difference. Many states consider a mugging a robbery, and many states don't. In some states, if, for instance, a lady is in the parking lot of a grocery store and some, whippersnapper comes running by and grabs her purse from her arm, some states consider that just a larceny, while other states call it a strong-arm robbery because force is used against the victim to steal their belongings, whether it be a phone, a purse, a wallet, cash, or whatever. It can either be a misdemeanor, larceny, or a felony, armed robbery, strong-arm robbery. Even though the person may not have been armed, they call it a strong-arm robbery because force was used to commit the larceny, which makes it a robbery. I know it gets a little technical and it gets a little confusing at times, and like I said, I understand that you're not a law enforcement officer and this is not a law class, but if you are going to make apprehensions, if you are going to make arrests, you need to know the right law to apply to the situation. Now, let me help you out a little bit more to get you on the right track to understanding the law and where to get the definitions of the law. Write this down. There is a handy-dandy pocket-sized book, which I strongly recommend that you get. It is from the Pocket Press Publishing Company, Pocket Press Publishing. They publish a nifty pocket-sized book of all of the frequently used statutes in your state, whether it be Virginia, California, wherever. It's updated every year. It's called the Peace Officer's Pocket Guide to the Law or to the Code. And again, that's called the Pocket Press Publishing. And they have great resources for you. This little book you can carry with you on duty. Get to know the frequented statutes that you're going to use the most frequent, whether it be trespassing, burglary, theft, disorderly conduct, public intoxication, whatever the charge might be. They also have the book for moving violations. And if you are enforcing traffic offenses in your area and you are writing citations, as some of you do as private police and in the state of Virginia as security officers, you may want to get that book as well. It is a pocket-sized book that gives you all of the, you know, frequently used statutes for moving violations. Again, Pocket Press Publishing. But knowing how to apply the law, because every community, every area is different. If you are working in California, you have citizens arrest authority. Many, 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 many hundreds of thousands of arrests are made by private security in the state of California from everything from trespassing to robbery to murder. And you have to understand that when law enforcement shows up to transport and you tell them you're going to charge this guy with felony assault, and they ask what happened, and you say, well, he slapped me, that's not a felony assault. That's a simple assault. You have to understand what the law is. Many security officers don't appreciate the fact that law enforcement and the magistrate's office, you know, won't proceed on the charges that the security officer has recommended. Well, that's because the law won't allow them to. It won't let them. If you know the law and you apply it accordingly, you will show yourself approved. You will come off as a much more professional security officer, and you will win your case, enhancing the charge and lower the crime on your property in your community. If a person assaults you with a weapon, a club, a bat, a piece of pipe, now you have an aggravated assault. That is a felony. Knowing the law, assault can be a simple assault. It can be a felony assault. It can be an aggravated assault. Same thing with robbery. Robbery with a weapon is called aggravated robbery. Knowing how to apply the statute, knowing how to understand the language of the law is going to help you out in everything that you do. I could go through the statutes. I could explain them one by one. But this is something you need to do. This is something that you need to spend time on. 49 states in the U.S. are governed by what's called the Old English Law, while the 50th state, Louisiana, is still governed by the French law. The Old English Law is the basis, the foundation of the law in 49 states. What was a law back in the England days, when England ruled here in the U.S., the foundation of those laws are still the basis for many laws in the U.S. And in Louisiana, they are governed by French law. They use the French law as their foundation for all other criminal statutes. It is important to understand language of the law and content and elements. Write those things down. Language of the law, content, and elements to the law. The more you know about criminal law in your state, the better you're going to be able to perform your job, the better you're going to be able to use the law, not necessarily manipulate the law, but use the law, to help you to apply it accordingly to the situation. Increasing charges against someone doesn't mean that you're being mean or nasty or hateful. It doesn't mean that you're out to get them. But it is a tool to curb, prevent, and stop crime on your property and in your community. It is a technique used by dozens, if not hundreds, of law enforcement agencies and private security around the country. A number of retailers recently have gotten together and they have begun enforcing a different type of law in their store. They have begun using civil penalties against shoplifters. And again, you know, I don't want to get too far off base here, but it's another technique to decrease and lower thefts and shoplifting in their stores. A number of retailers, including Macy's, has used the enforcement of civil penalties through their law firms. When a shoplifter is caught, they are told, we won't press criminal charges, but we need for you to sign this statement saying that you admit to shoplifting and that you agree to pay XYZ amount as a penalty for shoplifting in our store, and you are trespassed not to return for 1 year, 5 years, whatever it is. If the person signs that agreement and they are released, then they are sent a bill. And if they don't pay the bill, usually it's for the amount of property stolen plus a couple hundred dollars penalty. If they don't pay the bill, then they're sued and they're taken to court and the store wins every time. Why? Because the person signed a legal binding agreement. They agree that they stole. They agreed to pay the penalty. And while some may say, well, the shoplifter was under duress, he didn't understand the legalities, he didn't understand the content of that agreement, it's the same argument of any contract. You have to prove those elements. You have to prove you were under duress. You have to prove that you were being threatened, that you were coerced. And many stores are using civil penalties to lower shoplifting by getting the message out that, hey, we're going to hurt you where it really hurts. We're going to get you in your pocketbook. We're going to get you in your wallet. We're going to get you get your money from you as a punishment for you coming into our store and trying to steal. Again, knowing the law, both criminal and civil, knowing how to apply it to the situation is going to help you to reduce crime on your property. In today's world, we can't really count on the police to come in and do the job anymore. We just can't. It's a sad fact, but the police can't be everywhere anyways. They never could. And now with budget cuts, layoffs of police officers, smaller departments, less resources, private police, private security, you know, we have to take our tools, we have to take our training, our knowledge, and begin to apply it to help our clients, our customers, and our employers. And I just read an article over the weekend that in part of England, a private company is going to take over several police agencies, and they're going to manage those police departments. I've mentioned this before on my program. A professor did a study several years ago and came out with an article that a number of police duties will soon be turned over to private agencies who can do it better, cheaper, and get the job done because they're out there, you know, in a competitive world. And you're seeing that right now. So it's, you know, up to us in private security that if we're going to arrest, apprehend, detain people, it's up to us to know what laws to use, what is available to enhance the crime, the statute, and help lower the crime on our property. A couple of things I recommend for you to do if you are involved in apprehending, arresting, detaining people. You really need to set a meeting with the magistrate who signs the warrants. Find out who that is. Find out the process that goes on in your town or your community. I know in smaller communities, a person who's taken to custody doesn't go before the magistrate until the morning because no one's on duty overnight. That's in some communities. But in most major cities, you are taken right then after the arrest before the magistrate, and he hears the evidence and decides whether or not to sign the warrant. Well, you need to find out who that is, who that magistrate is, and what the system is. Find out how the game works in your area, how the system works in your area. Meet with the prosecutor. Meet with the police. Get the information down so that you know the process, so that you can do it correctly. Explain the crime problems that you're having on your property so that when they see that you're, sending in 5, 10, 15 people a week for disorderly conduct or for drinking in public or gambling, they understand this is the type of problem, this is the type of crime that you're having on your property. Let them know ahead of time what to expect. Network, network, network with the law enforcement, with the agencies, with the magistrate, with others in the area to help you to reduce the crime on your property. And if it's a HUD property, if it's a tax-deferred property, if it's a housing authority property, you need to network not only with the law enforcement agency, not only with the magistrate and the prosecutor, but also with the federal government. They have a number of agencies within HUD that will help you to reduce crime on the property. You should also research the law in your area. You can go to the database, state statute database. Just type in the word and search, and it'll come up. And you should also understand what case law is, which you can use for your case. That is, any case similar to yours that has happened anytime across the country, 1930 or yesterday, go to lawresearch.com, lawresearch.com. That will help you to search out cases that are similar to yours, and you can use it in court to show that, hey, this gentleman did this type of crime similar to what happened in Kansas City in 1974, and this is the increased punishment. This is the upgrade in charges that was applied. You should also understand there are some other enhancements to crime and criminal charges that are set forth by federal government. For instance, there are enhanced gun laws. If you are in possession of a gun on a school or in a restricted building, you can be arrested and charged with an enhanced crime. If you deal drugs within 1,000 feet of a school, you get an enhanced charge. Instead of just dealing drugs, now you have also an additional charge of drug possession or distribution within 1,000 feet of a school, that's a felony. Possession of a gun during drug crimes, also a felony. There are a number of crimes that are enhanced by federal law. Use aiding and abetting a crime and conspiracy as much as you can as well to group arrest. If several people are involved, don't just target the main character. Get them all, because that's going to send a message out. Don't trespass. Don't mess around on the property. They're not joking. Especially in serious crimes and in loss prevention areas where you want to reduce theft. Also, another crime that I've used, another charge that I've used a number of times, is risk of injury to a minor. If a parent, a guardian, is committing a crime with a child with them, charge them with that crime, risk of injury to a minor, or whatever a similar language crime is in your state. It is important that people understand that, you know, this is private property, even if they live on the property, even if they've been invited in to shop on the property, they just can't come in at will, committing crimes, doing whatever they want willy-nilly, and think nothing's going to happen. Because guess what? It is going to happen. And we're there to make sure that it does, that there are consequences for their behavior. And knowing the law, knowing the statutes, knowing the language, the elements, the content of the statutes in your state, in your city, is going to help you to reduce crime by upgrading charges. It's important, you know, in this day and age, in our business, to understand our job and understand what it takes to do it. It's not just sitting back in the guard shack anymore. It's not just observe and report. Many security officers, agents, nationwide and across the world, actually, are more proactive and more involved than ever before. It's one thing to look the part. It's one thing to dress the part. It's a totally different thing to be the part, to be the officer that the client thinks they're getting. That wraps up the second part of enhancing the crime to reduce the crime in your area. We hope that you enjoyed it. Join us on Wednesday for the LP Zone at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be talking about other crimes that loss prevention agents have to face, have to respond to, besides shoplifting and employee theft. And until then, we will see you right here back on the radio. Be safe. Be blessed, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. You've been listening to the Private Officer evening at 7:30 time. For more information about being a member